Before we get started with today's show, I want to tell you guys about betonline.ag. We are down to the final 8 teams in the basketball playoffs. Now at BetOnline Sportsbook, Denver and Boston, still heavy favorites to meet in the finals. However, I've got a sneaky suspicion about taking a flyer on Oklahoma City, the basketball darlings of New York, even a flyer on Indiana to possibly upset the apple cart and maybe, just maybe, go on a run to a Western or Eastern Conference championship. It's long odds. Take a flyer on all three. Maybe one of them cashes and you can make your money back. You can also pick up a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit using our promo code BLEAV, BLEAV, when you use the link in the description to this episode. Bet online, where the game starts. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, or good night. However and whenever it is you may be listening, thank you for stopping into another fantabulous episode of the Take It Easy podcast, live on the Bleav Podcast Network. Except it isn't live because it is, as always, a podcast. And podcasts aren't live. It's the whole purpose of this podcasting thing. You can listen however and whenever it is that you so choose. And we appreciate that you, the listener, have decided to stop in however and whenever it is you may be listening. Welcome, 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 everybody. It's a fantabulous Monday, May 6th, according to my count. It may not be that according to your count, but we appreciate you stopping in however and whenever it is you may be listening. It might be May 6th, 7th, 8th, or 9th. Hell, it could be May 26th, 27th, 28th, or 29th. However and whenever you might be listening, we appreciate you stopping in to the Take It Easy podcast. It is down to the final 8 teams in the NBA playoffs. Only had one game 7. It was for the right to get swept by the Boston Celtics in the second round of the playoffs. Just a quick note on that Cleveland-Orlando series. One of the things that I thought was very interesting is that from the very beginning, we said like Cleveland and Orlando might be the 7th and 8th best teams in the Eastern Conference playoffs. What was so interesting about that series is that both teams clearly had flaws that prevented them from even being a very good NBA team. Like, Orlando, the last day of the regular season, was one result away from being the 8th seed in the Eastern Conference with the potential of just completely missing the playoffs altogether, and then they ended up as the 5 seed. Cleveland is a bit of a different story. They were a very good regular season team. They have not met the expectations of what we thought they would be at the end of last year. It's been a big part of the reason why J.B. Bickerstaff is probably going to get fired at the end of the season. But one of the things that I think is very interesting about this matchup is that these were like clearly third or fourth tier NBA teams. Clear defined flaws that prevented them from being very good. In the case of Orlando, they were an excellent defensive team, top 5 in the league in most statistical categories. They were, you know, depending on definitions, an elite defensive team. I wouldn't go that far to say they were an elite defensive team this year, but the thing that they did was they played very, very good defense, and they very often could not generate the offense to match because they have Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner, who will eventually, under the best of circumstances, develop into strong offensive players who are capable of going and getting buckets consistently at efficient rates. They're very good at getting points. It's just not consistent with efficient scoring. The flip side of the coin is Cleveland, who has the young talent that has now played together for 3 years, and for some reason you just don't see the developments of Darius Garland, former top five pick, Evan Mobley, top five pick. Granted, they were missing Jared Allen for a significant portion of that series, and then you look up in Game 6 and Donovan Mitchell has to score 50 points in a game where Cleveland as a team did not break the 100-point marker until the final 12 seconds of the game. And I think both teams are so interesting in this series in that they both clearly have defined flaws that prevent them from reaching their end goals. Which, by the way, when we talk about Donovan Mitchell, I think, is like the ideal in terms of like efficient scorer. I think that's the idealized version of what Paolo Banchero can end up becoming. And granted, Paolo Banchero, the thing that will make him potentially a better player than Donovan Mitchell once he reaches 24, 25, 26 years old is Paolo Banchero is 6'10". Donovan Mitchell is 6'5". Like, that's where the discrepancy can come into play. But I think the vision of offensive efficiency in terms of what Donovan Mitchell can do with his athletic gifts and getting to the basket and the mid-range jumper and all sorts of stuff like that, I think that's kind of the vision you could look for when you think of what Paolo Banchero can be on that Orlando Magic offensive team. I think it's fun to think about those things, even if they play different positions. If you just focus on the efficiency numbers, I think it's interesting to watch those too. But I thought it was interesting that both those teams had clearly defined flaws. Will both get swept by Boston even without Porzingis? Because like we talked about last week, you can make the case that if you're drafting players in a Boston-Cleveland series, you would take five Boston Celtics before you take three Cleveland Cavaliers. Maybe even two Cleveland Cavaliers. I don't think Derek White is better than Darius Garland, but you would at least stop and think about it before we got to that point. Anyways, that was the only Game 7. It's a series that was less interesting. The thing that I promised last week on Thursday, we would talk about the Clippers and the Mavericks series once we had all the results in hand come Monday, because we recorded Wednesday evening right before the Mavericks beat the brakes off the Clippers in the second half of that Game 5 in Los Angeles. And by that point, once you saw the Mavericks beat the brakes off the Clippers by 30 in the second half, turn around and you knew Kawhi Leonard was not going to play in Game 6. That was kind of when the writing was on the wall for Dallas winning that series, but we did promise last week, because of the timing of our recording, we would put a pin in talking about that Clippers and Mavericks series until we got to the end of the first round. And now that we have the result in hand for that Clippers and Mavericks series, let's pull that pin out, let the tower fall, or whatever the metaphor we were working with was, and let's talk about the Clippers and the Mavericks. More specifically, we'll talk about the Clippers in depth coming up in a second, because obviously I don't need to tell you it's a big offseason going forward for the Clippers. Paul George is a free agent. He's been connected to the 76ers. The Magic would like to get a meeting with him, although I believe Paul George will decline that meeting. The Clippers have said they want to talk extension, but they didn't want to talk extension back in November. But if you kind of get the vibes of the Clippers right now, it seems like the locker room itself would rather move on from Kawhi and build around Paul George and James Harden, as flawed as that team might look, versus bringing back Kawhi but not bringing back Paul George. It's kind of a weird dichotomy that exists right now with the Clippers. And what I think is exponentially I'll also say this on the front end. I've just been plain wrong about the Dallas Mavericks step by step along the way. Like, I just cannot figure out this Maverick team at all. Like, I knew the deal was bad for Porzingis when they gave him away for spare parts to Washington. And then when they traded for Kyrie Irving, it was a sign of desperation because they had allowed Jalen Brunson to walk out the door. And then they missed the play-in altogether last year. And they drafted Derek Lively, and Derek Lively came in, and he wasn't the impact player they were hoping for immediately, because he is 20 years old, and you're asking him to be an immediate impact center. That's not going to solve your questions. If you wanted that immediate impact player, you would have traded the number 10 pick, but there was no player available last offseason other than Damian Lillard. There were no forwards or centers available last year in the draft that would have placated the number 10 pick, that would have been worth giving up the number 10 pick. So they drafted Lively, and it didn't work out the way they hoped right away, and they traded for Grant Williams, and it looked like that was a mistake. So then they attached a first-round pick to move Grant Williams for a player in PJ Washington, who I said at the trade deadline was a worse player than Grant Williams, and I thought Dallas was making a bunch of mistakes. And all of a sudden, PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford do exactly what they hoped Grant Williams and Derek Lively would do back in October. They flipped the whole thing around midseason. Now they won a playoff series. And a lot of people, I presume, are picking Dallas to win that second round matchup against the Thunder. I'm saying Oklahoma City is going to beat Dallas probably in 5.5 games. And the reason I say 5.5 for those who are uninitiated to the show is whether it's 5 or 6 games doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. It is a Thunder series win that we will know after game 3 will be a Thunder series win. Similar to the Knicks and the Sixers, when the Knicks won game 2 at home when they were down 5 with 28 seconds to play and they came back to win, regardless of what was going to happen after that, the Knicks were going to win that series. I said the Knicks are going to win game 6 in Philadelphia after they blew the game 5 at home with the Tyrese Maxey half-court shot. I'm like, the Knicks are going to win game 6 because they are a simply better team than Philadelphia. The Thunder are going to beat the Mavericks in either 5 or 6 games because the Thunder are simply better than the Dallas Mavericks. I say all of this to say, take that information with a grain of salt, because I've just been completely wrong down the line with the Dallas Mavericks. I thought it was fine that they let Brunson walk. I thought the Kyrie Irving trade was desperate, and it's turned out to be a tremendous success, even as a giant war has broken out between the Jews and the Palestinians. Somehow that has made Kyrie Irving not a crazy person again after he was traded in the middle of being suspended for talking about the fake documentary spreading misinformation about Jews. It is really just incredible that all of this has worked out for Dallas after so many missteps along the way. And the reason it has worked out like that is because Kyrie Irving is still an incredibly excellent basketball player into his 30s, and Luka Doncic is an MVP caliber player who will carry this team to a potential Western Conference Finals. Somehow at the end of it all, they have put, despite multiple missteps along the way, they have finally put competence around Luka Doncic, and competence around Luka Doncic at this stage of his career is good enough to get you to a Western Conference Finals falling ass backwards. It's why it's so remarkable that Joel Embiid has never fallen into a Eastern Conference Finals appearance, like just by accident tripped and fell into an Eastern Conference Finals. It's kind of remarkable that the luck has never swung his way in such a fashion, because the luck already swung one way for Luka Doncic in the fact that Jalen Brunson went from the number 24 pick in the draft they didn't want to re-sign after 4 years into maybe the best player in the Eastern Conference playoffs. And he did it on Dallas's watch. He carried Dallas over Utah in a first-round series that Luka Doncic got hurt in 2022, and they still watch Jalen Brunson walk out the door and win multiple playoff series with the New York Knicks. It's incredible how this has all been messed up for Dallas, and yet it all worked out by trading for PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford with the exact same vision they had when they traded for Grant Williams and drafted Derek Lively. Grant Williams and Derek Lively were supposed to be PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford. It didn't work out, and they completely scrapped the plan, got in new Daniel Gafford and new Grant Williams, and it totally worked out somehow for the Dallas Mavericks. I don't understand it, but I think they're going to lose to the Thunder, but I've been completely wrong about Dallas all the way through. Maybe this is the one time I will finally get to be right about the Mavericks. But it's Luka versus SGA, and honestly, if you ask me which player was better in a vacuum, coin toss. And that means it's a coin toss series, because sometimes the easiest basketball analysis you can find is just, who's the best player on the team that's playing? It's Luka versus Shea? It's kind of a coin toss. Sometimes playoff basketball analysis can just be that simple. And I don't need to overthink it trying to galaxy brain myself into why the Dallas Mavericks are one of the worst run organizations in basketball. Because, hey, they made 4 bad trades. The Porzingis give up on Porzingis. I'm not even saying the Porzingis trade in the first place was a bad idea. I'm saying the give up on Porzingis trade when they traded him to Washington, awful trade. The Grant Williams trade, awful trade. The letting Jalen Brunson walk for nothing, terrible transaction. The draft pick of Derek Lively, just terrible transaction. Back to back to back to back, terrible transactions within 2 years. But they made three really good ones in trading for Kyrie Irving out of desperation, trading for PJ Washington out of desperation, and trading for Daniel Gafford. And hey, all of a sudden you've given Luka Doncic, you've thrown enough shot darts at the board to eventually give Luka Doncic a team that is competent, and competence being in the form of Kyrie Irving, PJ Washington, and Daniel Gafford, somehow against all odds, that reflects competence. That competence is good enough to get the Dallas Mavericks potentially to the Western Conference Finals. Again, I think the Thunder are going to win that series, but I've been wrong every step of the way on the Dallas Mavericks.
Love, love, city. I'm a live city star, look at the Jumbotron, arm in the rim, why go so hard, young from the streets, used to play on boulevards, I need the ring pronto, shout out, Vinny Del Negro, Bledsoe, Money Mo, Will, Brian Cook, though, about to make a rain on you, get a poncho, head honcho, got my seat back, don't let up, get packed, sold out. Yes, pack, two turn going up like gas. God damn, pull out my rags. Mike Jackson, yeah, I'm bad. Rat tat tat tat, tat it up in my bag. Live City, baby, you know what it is. DJ Dance, T Raw, Last Kings, YMCMB, Live City.
All right, let's talk about those Lob Lob City Clips. CP332 Blake Griff. This is, we've talked about this before. We made a whole musical album years ago about our favorite Take It Easy podcast parody songs and 1970s, you know, sports anthems that get created. One of my all-time favorites is Tyga going out of his way to recreate Rack City, but with the Los Angeles Clippers of the 2013-14 years. Honestly, this might be like 2012, actually, because he references Mo Williams and Brian Cook. I need to go back and figure out exactly what year Tyga was doing this Lob City, Rack City parody, because it's one of my favorite parody songs that we use on the show, like with the Miami Dolphins one and the San Francisco Giants and the San Diego Padres, or sorry, the Philadelphia 76ers and the Orlando Magic. Like, there's so many good parody songs in this in the old files, and this is one of my favorite ones. I think it was the 2011-2012 Clippers that Tyga was remaking this parody song too, because that was the year that during the lockout when they won a playoff series for the first time, they had Chauncey Billups, they had Caron Butler, they had Mo Williams, they had Brian Cook. They don't have Vinny Del Negro. Now, maybe he was an assistant coach by this point, but that's where I'm looking at it. I'm like, maybe that's where the traction falls apart, right? Maybe 2013 they have the same people, but that most of the names check out here. Bledsoe's on that team. Billups is still on that team. But there's also no Brian Cooks. So I think this is 2012. I think 2012 is the Clipper team that Tyga is referencing in his Lob City Clips song, which was the first, makes sense because that was the first winning season that the Clippers had had post Chris Paul trade. So I'm gonna go with Lob City Clips. The song that you just heard was based on the 2012 Los Angeles Clippers, and it's still a banger to this day, even though most of the people in there are either retired, on their way to retirement like Chris Paul, or in the case of DeAndre Jordan, reinventing their career as an NBA champion with the Denver Nuggets. This year's Clippers team gets bounced in the first round of the playoffs for the second year in a row. Since Kawhi and Paul George got to Los Angeles, and I heard this really great point one time while I was listening to the Dan Le Batard show, and it has stuck with me ever since. The Clippers in the Paul George, Kawhi Leonard era, which is now 5 years long, it's the history of this podcast. This podcast started following Kawhi Leonard around San Diego when he was going through his free agency frenzy. His plane was leaving San Diego to go to Toronto in the famous O.J. Simpson of Canada car chase that we detailed in our book, The Spurs Dynasty, one of my favorite moments in sports. And Dan Le Batard made this great point that in the 5 years of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard in Los Angeles, they have never had a more exciting moment than the night that they were acquired by the Clippers. The splash of trading for Paul George, which essentially dismantled that iteration of the Thunder. Because if you remember, Paul George broke up with Westbrook before Westbrook could break up with Paul George. A couple weeks later, Westbrook is traded from OKC to the Houston Rockets. OKC spends 1 year with Chris Paul, and then they trade Chris Paul for probably less than what Chris Paul was worth. And then Oklahoma City ends up bottoming out, and it results in the Oklahoma City team that we see now. That trade of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, who was at the time in the middle of that seven-month window where Kawhi Leonard was the best basketball player in the world, like the 7 months between the playoff run with Toronto in 2019 until the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020, there was like an eight-month period where Kawhi Leonard was the best basketball player in the world, bridging the transition between Steph, KD, and LeBron being the best basketball players in the world. And really, I should say Steph, KD, and Harden being the best basketball players in the world, into this new era of Giannis, Jokic, Anthony Davis, Joel Embiid, Devin Booker as the best basketball players in the world. There was like a seven-month period where Kawhi Leonard was the best player in the sport. And Toronto won an NBA championship that probably should have belonged to the San Antonio Spurs. All detailed in our book, The Spurs Dynasty, wherever you get books. It's linked in the description of this episode if you want to buy the book that details more about that story. Actually, details more about that story than I could ever could portray in the span of a podcast. But there's never been a more interesting moment, and this podcast has been around since the day Kawhi Leonard signed with the Los Angeles Clippers. There has never been a more interesting moment since that day. And now at the end of the 5 years, the Clippers have a run that includes, in the bubble, disappointing by getting to Game 7 in the second round of the playoffs as a number two seed. When they blew that 3-1 lead in the bubble, which got Doc Rivers fired, I think Lou Will got traded after that, Beverly got traded after that, like it was kind of the end of that version of the Clippers. Blew a 3-1 lead in the bubble in the second round. The following year, go to the conference finals, despite the fact that Kawhi Leonard tears his meniscus in the second round series against Utah, which they were able to still win because Terrence Mann had a 40-point game in a game six that closed out the Utah Jazz. Terrence Mann's 40, I think it was a 41-point game from Terrence Mann in a game six that got the Clippers past Utah. And then they lost in the conference finals against Phoenix because it was Paul George and a bunch of dudes for a team that was basically like a 7-seed type team. Lose in the conference finals 2021, missed the playoffs in 22 because Kawhi missed the whole season with the torn meniscus. Lose in the first round with Kawhi going in and out of the series with injury in 23. Out in the first round with Kawhi going in and out of injury. In and out with injury in the first round of the playoffs. Like, 2023's Clippers team was identical to 2024 Clippers team, which was they were in the 4-5 series. Injuries to Kawhi Leonard kept him out of certain games in the first round, and they had to lean on Russell Westbrook and Norman Powell to provide them 40-plus point games because remember, or I'm sorry, 30-plus point games. Because remember, Norman Powell last year in the playoffs had a 40-point game in the first round against the Suns, and Russell Westbrook had a 30-point triple-double in a first-round game against the Suns last year. And they went to six games, and they lost to the Suns. And this year they went to six games, and they lost to the Mavericks without Kawhi Leonard. And despite making the trade for James Harden, it ended with the exact same result because ultimately James Harden was playing the role of Norman Powell in last year's playoffs. I'm not saying James Harden and Norman Powell are the same player. I'm saying the role that James Harden played for the Clippers in this series was equivalent to the role that Norman Powell played for the Clippers in the 2023 series, and that is one 40-point game, a few single-digit scoring games, or you know, early teens scoring games on incredibly inefficient shooting. Lack of defense leads to the opposing team scoring a lot of points, and that opposing team pulls away at the back end of the series because you need that defensive stopper in Kawhi Leonard at the center of everything that you do. And so I look up and think that this iteration of the Clippers is what it is at this point. In the Lord's year of 2024, which is now the 14th year of Kawhi Leonard's career. And remember, at year 8 was when the knee injuries started for Kawhi. Year 8 was when the knee injuries started popping up. And Kawhi Leonard, now in year 14, can be the best player on a team that gets bounced in the first round. And by the way, most of the people on the Clippers kind of agree with this point, given the fact that they don't really seem willing to bring Paul George, James Harden, and Kawhi Leonard back next year, or at the very least, if they do bring all three of those back next year, Tyronn Lue is out of there. Tyronn Lue is like, we've taken this thing as far as we can. He's been there 4 years. He seems incredibly frustrated from the little bits of information that I've picked up from within the Clipper organization. He seems incredibly frustrated with everything that's going on. The Lakers are leaving the door open for the event that he gets fired, and this time it actually feels like there might be a parting of ways between Tyronn Lue and the Los Angeles Clippers. And it's so interesting that after 4 years of this group of Paul George, Kawhi, Ty Lue all coming together, getting rid of the old guys who were there before, getting rid of Doc Rivers, getting rid of Lou Williams, getting rid of Patrick Beverley, getting rid of the guys who were there pre-Kawhi and Paul George. And Kawhi and Paul George bring in their own people because they have a lot of influence over personnel and decision making. Hence why the person who was running the organization last year left to go rebuild the Washington Wizards. The guy at the top of their organization, I forgot his name now, their general manager, their chief basketball decision maker, left to go to Washington, where he got full power over Washington's organization to trade Bradley Beal and tear that thing to the ground. Kawhi Leonard and Paul George have an incredible amount of say over the personnel that comes in. Case in point, signing Russell Westbrook was documented by Paul George to be something that Paul George really pushed for. And they said afterwards, like, front office had trepidation. Paul George was really pushing for it. They brought in Russell Westbrook. Trading for Norman Powell from the Portland Trailblazers. That was a Kawhi Leonard move. Why? Because Norman Powell and Kawhi Leonard were best friends in Toronto. Both Kawhi lives in San Diego. Norman Powell's born and raised in San Diego. Those two are homies from their one season in Toronto. Like, that was Kawhi's quote-unquote best friend. Danny Green is also cool with Kawhi, but that was Kawhi's quote-unquote best friend on those 2019 Raptors teams. They go out and they trade for Norman Powell from Portland and sign him to an extension. Strategic moves made by Kawhi Leonard and Paul George to kind of put this thing together. And then, by the way, those guys are at the forefront of bringing in James Harden when the opportunity presents itself last offseason. They're at the forefront of, we want to make this thing work with Harden, and the four of us playing together will be a super old team with a lot, making a lot of money, but we can go out and we can produce some level of result.
Love City Clips, CP3, 3-2, Blake Riff, DeAndre Butler, and we got Billipson. LA, you don't know who you playing with. Got my other chick, gang with my other chick. Same Corsair, Jack Nicholson. Throwback jersey, I ain't selling it. But I'm fresher than Peppermint. Red Letterman's Love City killing it. Young money, yeah, we getting rich. Got your grandma at the game. Yeah, girl, you know what it is. Love City Clips, Love City Clips, CP3, 3-2, Blake Griff. Love City Clips, Love City Clips, DeAndre, Butler, and Billipson. I'm a Love City star, look at the Jumbotron. Arm in the rim, why go so hard? Young from the streets, used to play on boulevards. I need the ring pronto. Shout out Vinny Del Negro, Bledsoe, Money Mo, Will, Brian Cook, though. About to make a rain on you, get a poncho. Head honcho, got my seat back. Don't let up, get packed. Sold out, yes, packed. Two turn, going up like gas. God damn, pull out my rags. Mike Jackson, yeah, I'm back. Rat tat tat tat, tat it up in my back. Live City, baby, you know what it is. DJ Dance, T-Raw, Last Kings, YMCMB, Live City.